This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inshallah, today the second point we discuss is something unfortunately many of us are victims of. This is sloth and spiritual idleness. In Arabic it's called kasal, laziness in other words. Spiritual laziness. A person is very active. A person is making huge amounts of money. A person is able to help and assist so many other people in doing a lot of worldly things. When it comes to spiritual accomplishment, all the excuses are found. That's essentially what kasal is. And batala. In Arabic there's another word called batala, which is spiritual idleness. So sloth and spiritual idleness. Sloth is actually one of the major sins in the Bible, in the other religions as well. It was called sloth. Sloth just doesn't mean somebody who's slow, but it's essentially somebody who is not doing their best to do something for their deen. The way he defines it is, it means lacking motivation to do good. Lacking motivation to do good and being aloof in achieving levels of perfection. You don't care about perfection. You don't want to enhance yourself. You are satisfied with the status quo. This is one of the biggest problems that you can deal with. What the ulama mentioned, and this is from experience, you can know this. There are people today who, for example, they only pray Jumu'ah in the masjid. Right? But their intention is that while the masjid is far from my house and is very inconvenient, takes me half an hour to go and do one salat. Right? I mean, what's new? For a person who's close to the masjid, maybe 15, 20 minutes. Takes them double the time. But their intention is that I would love to go closer to a masjid and I would love one day to start praying in a masjid. That person is better off than the one who says, the masjid is too far from my house, I'm too busy, I don't have time, the imam takes too long. That's another complaint. I'm not saying you do. Right. But that's a complaint. Because there is one masjid that I go to quite frequently. The dhuhr prayer is between 12 to 15 minutes. Right. But people have gotten used to it in the local area. Whereas the next masjid down is 7 minutes. Right. So it's a big difference. But these are all excuses. If the excuse is that, no, this is not for me, I'm too busy, then the person will never improve and never change. If a person is constantly going out with the wrong people and he thinks he must do this for his job, if a person is constantly drinking because he goes out with certain clients and he thinks he has to fit in the corporate world, and the person thinks it's justified because I have to earn a living and I have to feed my family and I have a lifestyle that I must maintain, then that person is never going to increase. If a person is at work and he's forced to shake hands with women, he doesn't want to do so. He does it he doesn't know how else to deal with the situation. And he feels guilty inside and he feels that one day, inshallah, I will not do this. And I will find myself a different job and so on and so forth. Then that person is going to get somewhere. If a person today cannot make his salat in the masjid, but he feels, no, I want to and I would love to, his heart is in the masjid, then inshallah one day Allah will make sure that that happens. It's about not being satisfied with your status quo, because we can never be perfect. The journey to Allah is endless. Allah is infinite. The journey to Him is infinite. And thus we can always be better. And one of the greatest examples I'll give you is just think about this Ramadan. How many days have passed of this Ramadan? 9 days have passed. How many of you think that you are doing a better Ramadan this year than you did last year? Or is it the same package that you're using? You know, in the world we talk about packages, right? We talk about many different things like this. You buy a suit. I mean, you know, the first time you need to go to an interview and you just graduated. Any suit will do. You borrow one maybe. You go to George, Asda, and you buy a suit. Primark. But once you start climbing up that ladder, you won't want to be caught dead in a suit from some of these places. Then it needs to be hand-stitched stuff afterwards, eventually. Right? So we upgrade. When it comes to food, we're connoisseurs of good food. We know which restaurants to go to. We have, you know, we have a critical understanding of these things. When it comes to our ibadah and worship, we're in sloth. The same Ramadan package that we've been doing for the last 10 years, we're doing the same package, the no-frills, off-the-shelf, generic brand, shop brand package. When are we going to get upgrades in our deen? I mean, if you've got a phone that's a bit old, you want to upgrade, don't you? You would like an upgrade. You may not want to do it right now, but you have an intention for an upgrade. When is our deen, when is our Ramadan going to get upgraded? I start making dua from before Ramadan. Oh Allah, make this Ramadan better than any Ramadan before it. Because otherwise, how else am I going to get it better? I always hope that it's better than last year. I don't know if I accomplished that or not, but I always hope so. At least hope gets you somewhere, inshallah. Of course, you need to do work with that. But if I think, look, this is my Ramadan schedule, this is all I'm going to do. That's what I've been doing every year, and that's all I'm going to do. Come on, in 10 years you haven't made a difference? Come on. You haven't adjusted your work? You haven't adjusted your routine, your sleeping time, your Quran reading time, and so on and so forth? So, this is an extremely blameworthy attitude. Now, this is not natural, by the way. You know the foolishness? There's an element of natural, there's a natural element there. But in this case, it is just shaitan. It is shaitan and lassitude and sloth, as they call it. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the man has nothing except what he strives for. وَأَن لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. For the insan is only that what you're going to strive for. It's not going to come for free. Alhamdulillah, I mean, maybe we're spoilt in this country. You don't work, you still give you money. If you work a bit, they still give you. And people have it completely measured. I'm only going to work for this many hours. Otherwise, it's not worth me working for that much more. Because then I'm working more, I'm getting the same money that we're getting benefits. We're kind of spoilt. The deen doesn't work that way. In deen, you only get for what you really want, what you do and what you really want. Your intentions and your actions. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Actions are according to intentions. A lot of people say, brother, I've got good heart, I've got good intention. But the hadith doesn't say have a good heart or good intention. It says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Actions are according to intentions. You do the action, then Allah will give you based on your intention. So even if your action was a bit weak, it was a bit floppy here and there, but you had a good intention, that's going to matter. You tried your best. That's what it means. It doesn't mean you don't do anything, just have a good intention. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually has a dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasal. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasal. It's a dua. Not for himself. Far be it that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam be pray to sloth. But this is to teach the ummah. Oh Allah, I seek your refuge from sloth and laziness. From idleness. Okay. It leads to the ruination of one's soul and body. It causes one to resemble the lifeless. Because you're not getting anywhere spiritually in the hereafter. And it's without any wisdom. Shaykh Abdul Hakim Murad, he says, from a spiritual perspective, one can be slothful in deen despite a very, very busy life. Now, this is very important. This is talking in the modern context, that in the very busy life that a lot of us lead, especially living in London and the high rents and so on and so forth, right? One can be slothful despite being so busy, saying, I got no time. To avoid obeying his creator, a person will find 1,000 tasks to perform. We will find thousands of things to do. I must do this, I must do this. And yes, we must do all of those things. Right? So that we don't do salat, or you don't go to the masjid, or you don't do Quran reading, or you don't do anything extra. Now, the problem is that all of these thousands of tasks, these may take the form of business or pleasure. He may work 12 hours a day and neglect his prayers. He may work a taxi for 14 hours or 16 hours, because every hour counts as money. It's your own, it's your own business there, right? And the worst, the people who are the worst in this case are people who own their own business. Ask me, it's the biggest challenge, because you can't. You have to bring your business home. When you work for somebody else, uska kaam jaane, right? You come home, right? When it's your own business, you're sleeping your business, you're dreaming your business. Very difficult to make that distinction. Though there's barakah in business, but one has to be careful, because in everything there's barakah, there could be fitna as well, if you misuse it. This is the way nature of the dunya is. So he says, he may work 12 hours a day and neglect his prayers. The pressure of work anesthetizes his sense of spiritual duty. It's like it's numbed. The spiritual duty is not, because you're so busy, you feel that's important and this is not important. So you get numbed. You can't feel the pain. You can't feel the spiritual pain. Competing in worldly increase has distracted you. Alhaakumut takathur. This is essentially what it is. Alhaakumut takathur. Competing in worldly possession and increase has distracted you. The person may take a hiking holiday in Tibet, even risking his life. People do this. I must do this. It's part of my career. Right? For the same reassuring anesthetis. I don't like this English. I don't like the way the English pronounce this word. Anesthesiologist is the American way. And here is anesthetist. Just a very complicated way of saying it. In our time, most highly active people are slothful. In fact, ours is an age of sloth. The slothful person is a manic suppressive. But the devil promises them only beguilement. وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا Now think about where we are in this. They move energetically from act to act, filling life with busyness. Filling our lives with busyness, but at depth they are stagnant because you're not getting anywhere. The material possession, material accomplishments, the material position and rank may be increasing. You may be making more contacts, but spiritually there is no contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person will feel empty and devoid inside, it's clear. Because without that, there's no tuma'nina in the heart. The believer may be outwardly calm. The believer, on the other hand, may be outwardly calm, indifferent to worldly increase, but his heart is a wellspring of Allah's remembrance. May Allah give us the tawfiq. Abu Ali al-Daqqaq says, verily the slothful are those whom the supremely real, al-haq, has fastened to their feet weights of spiritual failure. Those people who are slothful, they're basically tied down with weights of slothfulness. Khidlan, spiritual failure, forsaken from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he chooses for them remoteness from the divine. He chooses for them to be far from Allah, far from Him, and distances them from the station of closeness to Him. And that is the reason they lag behind. If you are slothful, if we are slothful, it's because we are far from Allah. Don't ask why you don't get up for tahajjud. That I can't get up for tahajjud. Is it because Allah doesn't want me to get up for tahajjud? I'm talking about tahajjud. Some people have a challenge with prayer. That I can't pray 5 times a day outside Ramadan. Is it because Allah doesn't want you to pray? Because I'm so sloth, He's just forsaken me. That's a very bad, it's a very bad feeling to have. Allah preserve us and protect us from distance. Imam Sulami highlights the basis of spiritual idleness. He relates that one of his ancestors said that contempt for the mandate stems from the dearth of one's realization of He who mandates. Okay, let me put that in simple English. You know, when you don't feel like doing good deeds, it's because you haven't recognized the one who's told you to do the good deeds. When you start learning about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the tafsirs of the Quran, and through the ahadiths, and through the sayings of those who recognize Him, and you understand who He is, that He's looking after you, your tawakkul will increase, your love will increase. And when your love increases, then you'll be praying because you're not frightened of His punishment, but because you want His satisfaction. And any employee that does that, who works for who's highly motivated for the company they work for, they do a better job than the one who's just going there to make money. Both are going to make money, but one is going to do much better, and that company is just going to work much better than others. And that's why in the business world, they moved from the controller environment in businesses to the therapeutic environment, they call it. Where, I mean, the word is the therapeutic. You have a few different. You have the controller, you have the therapeutic, you have the messianic. Messianic is that you have like an icon, somebody who just drives everybody. And until he's there, it's all great. If he's gone, then it breaks. The controller is that everybody's control. But in that, then people don't feel connected. What they do is they just work for their time and then they leave. They work, you know, they try to work at that time. The therapeutic one is like Google and so on, where they give you lots of food, they let you do exercise, they give you all of these other perks and so on. They make you feel part of the culture. You feel like Google, right? And thus you do more. It's different. Now, each one of them have their pros and cons. That's why the most effective is a mixture of all of them. It's called the ecocentric. Right? That's just from a management perspective. But it's the same thing in this case, that if we don't understand Allah, then how are you going to worship Him? That's why you don't feel like worshiping Him. Read the Quran with meaning. Ponder. See what Allah is. Read those tafsirs. Read those hadith about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See what Allah wants and how He loves us. Then we understand that when Allah loves somebody and the way He addresses us, then things will make a big difference. Then we will start worshiping because we want to worship Him, not because we're fear of hellfire. Fear of hellfire is only the starting point for people. And these things become, as Ibn Ata'illah rahimahullah, he says that, see, the nafs, it has to become used to something before it starts doing it willingly. So if you want to introduce, for example, if you feel that I can't make one salat a day in the masjid because I'm very busy, right, then you will always remain like that. In the beginning, you'll have to force yourself to put that into your timetable and come to the masjid. Or let's just say that if you feel that I cannot, outside of Ramadan, sit and read Quran for 20 minutes. I just don't have the time. This is the biggest excuse everybody is. I don't have the time. Right? Is there any other excuse? Right? Most people want to read Quran. They want to sit down for 10 minutes of dhikr extra. But the excuse is, I don't have time. And genuinely what happens is that we just rush for one. I guarantee you that if you do for 30 to 40 days, 40 days is generally a maturing period. If for about 40 days you force yourself somehow or the other with some discipline to sit and do dhikr for 10 minutes a day extra, or to read Quran for 20 minutes, after that it will become easy for you to do it. You've just made it part of your life. But until then it's going to be difficult. But once you forced yourself to do it, then the nafs will say, okay, that's part of my package now. I'm going to do it. That's the benefit of Ramadan, to carry on outside with what we do. And not to think that once Eid comes, it's holiday now, it's finished. We go back to where we were. This was just 30 days of inconvenience. Couldn't get proper sleep. Right? Okay, I can understand the food, but proper sleep, I couldn't get proper sleep. Work was affected, and so on and so forth. It's a sad way to look at it. It's supposed to be seen as a way to build up. May Allah give us the tawfiq. Indeed, one of the sages said, whoever keeps hungry based on sound knowledge is not accessible to the devil. Actually, no, before that, Sulami also attributes, these are not practical issues. Sulami also attributes much of sloth to one's belly being full. If your belly is constantly full, you're constantly, the shaitan has more effect because we have less, this is psychological. I was just discussing recently somebody who's got a lot of sexual urges, The way to curb them, especially for young people, the way to curb them, you know, to remove themselves from pornography and other things, is to cut out a number of things. Is number one is to fast. The Prophet ﷺ suggests that already, right? But then in addition to that, to cut out red meat and to cut out sugar. From a practical perspective, cutting out sugars and red meats will assist you and help you in curbing the nafs and desire. These things feed the nafs and desire. And that's why one of the sages said, whoever keeps hungry based on sound knowledge, not hungry for any other reason, but in a measured and in a proper way, then that person is not accessible to the devil. It's the practical treatment for sloth, as Allama Nahlawi says, is to keep company with people of vigor and motivation. Then you will get motivated. If all of your friends are all slothful people, then where are you going to break out of that? They're going to make fun of you. And we then bend to peer pressure. Even adults do that. Look at culture. Look what culture does to people. Every day I get... exaggeration. We get so many from, you know, certain communities specifically. My father wants me to marry this cousin in Pakistan or wherever. And I don't want to marry him because he's like this, he's like that. But it's because of culture. It's his brother's son or sister's daughter. It's powerful. Peer pressure, culture is very powerful. You have to break out of that. And you have to do something for yourself. You have to understand, why should I sell my dunya? Why should I sell my akhirah for somebody else's dunya? Why should I sell my akhirah for somebody else's dunya? Unfortunately, most people are followers. Practical treatment is to keep company with people of vigor and motivation, and you will become motivated. And to avoid company of the slothful and idle. Slothfulness and idleness leads to being barred in the next life, along with regret and sorrow, as one will see the spiritual work of others while having none of your own. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to be motivated. Let's make a short dua. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم يا حنان يا منان لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين جزا الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله. Oh Allah, we ask you for your mercy. Oh Allah, this is a month in which your mercy showers down. Oh Allah, it's a storm of your mercy and blessing. Oh Allah, we want to be fully drenched in this. Oh Allah, fully drench us in this. Oh Allah, allow us to take advantage of every moment of the concentrated bounties that are being showered at every moment of this month. Oh Allah, do not make us of the slothful. Oh Allah, remove our slothfulness. Oh Allah, make us motivated. Oh Allah, accept us all for the service of your deen. Oh Allah, we ask that you forgive us all of our misdeeds, our transgressions, our wrongdoings, our sins. Oh Allah, the open ones and the silent ones, those that we remember, those that we have forgotten. And oh Allah, above all, we ask that you remove from us those sins that have become part and parcel of our life, and no longer are we even now considering them to be sins. Oh Allah, where is this ignorance going to get us to? Oh Allah, we ask that you grant us awareness, that you grant us insight, you grant us divine enablement and tawfiq. And oh Allah, we ask that you make us yours. You grant us your love and the love of those who love you. You make your obedience beloved in our heart, your disobedience hated in our heart. And oh Allah, we ask that you bless all of those here with forgiveness, that nobody be returned without being forgiven. Oh Allah, we ask that you abundantly send your blessings on our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that you grant us his company in the hereafter. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursalin wa alhamdulillah.